Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray this night and tomorrow and Sunday and always that you would open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that we may hear your word gladly and believe your word. Grant us true faith and repentance. Draw us close to you this blessed week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Maundy Thursday was a very, very busy night, wasn't it? A lot happens on Maundy Thursday. The disciples go off to find the room for the Passover. We read about that. Jesus has the Passover meal with his disciples, his final supper. He, above all, gives the Lord's Supper to replace the Passover. That's the highlight of this night, the giving of his body, his blood, and bread and wine that we continue to have this night and always in the church, kind of like his will. My will is I leave you myself. And he leaves us himself because that's all we need. If we have him, we have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. He washes feet this night and gives the command to be servants and love each other as he has loved us. If you read John's Gospel, he does a lot of teaching there in the room. He prays. He goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday and prays and sweats blood as the choir sang about. And there he is betrayed by Judas. He's arrested. And we're basically getting soon to Good Friday, aren't we? But a lot happens on Maundy Thursday. It's a busy night. How would we summarize this night? Well, perhaps we could summarize Maundy Thursday this way. On Maundy Thursday, we lift up a cup, and Jesus lifts up a cup. But they are totally opposite, different cups. On this night, we lift up a cup. We said it in our liturgy from Psalm 116. We lift up the cup of salvation. How many times we say that already? I will lift up the cup of salvation. Yes. I will lift up that cup of Jesus' blood and drink that blood and drink that blood for his righteous saving blood that gives me life and forgiveness. And along with that, I will lift up his body in the bread and eat his body. If I eat his body and drink his blood, there is life and there is salvation, for I have Christ. And I will live forever, and I can conquer all things through him who gives me strength. This night we rejoice that we can lift up the cup of salvation instituted on this night by Jesus, Holy Communion. Three things about lifting up the cup that are quite obvious but should be said. First of all, we are told to lift up the cup. I will lift up the cup of salvation, which means that we drink it. And we also eat the body. The Lord's Supper is not just to ponder. It's not to look at and think about, isn't that nice, but never take. The Lord's Supper is to eat. So he says, take and eat. Don't just look at it and think about it, but run away from it because you're scared and don't know what it is. It's my body. It doesn't look like my body or taste like my body, but my body is there because I say this is my body. Believe my word. And does it look like my blood? Does it taste like my blood? It looks like wine. This is my blood because I say this is my blood. Drink of it, all of you. Lift it up, take it in your mouth, eat it, drink it. And then you have salvation. You have forgiveness. It's not to sit on the table and everybody just looks at it, ponders it, but I can't take it. A second thing is that this cup of salvation, as well as the body and the bread, is all prepared by Jesus. We don't prepare this cup. We don't prepare the meal. It's all prepared by Christ. That's why he says, lift up the cup of salvation, because he's put salvation in the cup. He's prepared the cup. We just eat and drink. I get a sore throat now and then, and I like a hot tea with some lemon and honey to kind of soothe the throat. And often my beloved wife will prepare that for me, but if she's not around, I do the hard work of making the hot tea for my throat. I prepare my own cup. This means I got to get a cup and put water in it. I can do that. Microwave the water. I usually don't get it microwaved quite hot enough, or it's too hot in the microwave. Then I got to find a tea bag, which isn't always so easy in our cabinet. Where's the tea bags at? and I got to find honey, and I usually make a mess with the honey and have to clean up the mess on the counter because I make a mess with the honey, and it's sticky. Then I got to find a lemon and cut a lemon, and we often don't have lemons, or where are the lemons in the refrigerator? And I got to squeeze the lemon juice in it, and I make a mess with the lemon juice too. And by that time of stirring it all together, it's no longer hot. I have to put it back in the microwave. A lot of hard work for a hot lemon honey tea that may not even help. This cup helps. And this cup we do no hard work for. Jesus did all the hard work. And what hard work did Jesus do that we drink the cup and eat his body? The hard work of death. May we never take it cheaply, Holy Communion. He shed his very blood out of his back, his head, his hands, his feet, his side. He shed his blood that I can drink his blood. He gave his body on a cross that I can eat his body. The hard work of suffering and death and bearing the sins of the world. Jesus did all that hard work to put his blood in the cup, his body in the bread. It's not magic. He worked hard to make it happen. And a final thing about this cup we lift up is that this is our way of giving thanks to God. We say from Psalm 116, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? A great question for Holy Week. Maybe you all ask that question. How can I possibly repay God for all his goodness to me, that my God would suffer and die and rise? How can I repay you, God? What can I possibly do for you? How can I possibly say thank you? And God gives us the answer. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. So we thank God, we repay God by receiving what he gives. Notice the psalmist doesn't say, you want to repay God? You better obey the Ten Commandments. That's how you're going to repay God. You want to repay God? You better give a lot of money to church. And we're going to be watching. You want to repay God? You better serve on every board in the church at one time or another and serve on two or three boards and work like crazy in this church. That's how you repay God. Doesn't say that. You better become a missionary. Doesn't say that. Now, all those things are fine to do in faith. But he says, how will I repay the Lord? I will lift up the cup of salvation. We repay God. We thank God by receiving in faith what he gives. And so we eat his body and we drink his blood and we do it with glad hearts and we're content when we leave. I have Jesus. I have forgiveness. I don't need anything else because I have him. You repay God with faith, and even he gives you that faith and strengthens that faith. He enables you to repay him. So receive and repay God by being here and receiving what he gives. But there is another cup tonight that we think of that the choir sang beautifully about tonight, and that is the cup that Jesus lifts up and drinks. We lift up the cup of salvation, but he lifts up on this night and Good Friday an entirely different cup. He prays about it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, may this cup pass from me, or take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. What cup is he talking about? He's not talking about the cup of salvation. He's talking about the cup of condemnation. You see, dear friends, on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, he drinks the cup of condemnation so we can drink the cup of salvation tonight. He drinks the cup of misery so that we can drink the cup of mercy. He drinks the cup of hell so we can drink the cup of heaven. He drinks the cup of God's anger so that we tonight can drink the cup of God's absolution. What a Savior we have. He willingly says, thy will be done, I will drink this cup. In the Old Testament, we know we have the role of the cupbearer. Nehemiah was a cupbearer and other cupbearers. You know what a cupbearer did? A cupbearer was a good friend of the king, a trusted friend of the king. And the cupbearer would taste the drink for the king before the king would drink it. So if it was poisonous, the cupbearer would die and the king wouldn't die. So the king trusted that cupbearer. You drink the cup first, so if it's a poison, you die and not me. On this night, Jesus becomes our Nehemiah. He becomes our cupbearer, and he treats us like a king. See what he does for us? He's the king, but he becomes the lowly cupbearer, the servant, and makes us kings and queens, and says, I'll drink the cup. I'll drink the cup of poison so you can live. I'll drink the cup of the wrath and anger of God so that you are absolved and you are righteous in God's sight. I'll be your cupbearer willingly. In the Old Testament, God's wrath is often described as a cup that is filling up. God's wrath is filling up. He's getting angrier and angrier as people sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin some more. And the cup fills up. And who's going to drink that cup? Well, in the Old Testament, God gives a sip of the cup to a few people that they might repent. The flood of Noah is a nice, strong drink from that cup as God lays out his anger on the world. But not all the anger, just some, a sip. And that's the flood. And Sodom and Gomorrah, they get a little sip of the wrath of God. Here's a sip, now repent. Or I'll give you the whole cup, which is hell. And Babylon gets a nice strong drink from the cup of God's wrath. They get 10 plagues. And God is saying, here, take a sip of my wrath and repent. And of course, they don't, do they? And God's own people get a sip of the cup of wrath a little bit. When they fall into great idolatry, Assyria conquers the north, as you know. Babylon destroys Jerusalem, burns it. That's a cup, a little sip from God's cup of anger. Repent! But who's going to drink the whole cup? Just a sip. There's still a whole lot more there. And because we sin, it builds up more and more. Who's going to drink the cup? Jesus in the garden says, I'll drink the cup. And he drinks the entire thing. When he takes the cup of God's anger, he doesn't get a sip. Let them have the rest of it. That's too much for me, Father. He drinks the whole thing. Down to the last drop. As he suffers hell for you and I and all the anger and wrath of God over sin. He drinks the whole cup. We drink a cup down to the last drop, the good drop. It's good and righteous. He drinks the cup of God's wrath down to the last bad drop as he suffers and dies for us. And so, friends, on Monday, Thursday, God's at peace with us. God's not mad at you. God doesn't frown on you. He's not angry at you, waiting to get you for something. Jesus took it all away. He drank the cup of God's anger, every last drop. God's at peace with us. God's reconciled to us. God doesn't count our sins against us. God remembers our sins no more. God loves us, and we're his children. So Monday, Thursday, we drink the cup of salvation. He drinks the cup of condemnation. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.